This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. Connecticut is one of the easiest states in the nation to buy raw milk.
States like Connecticut have allowed the retail sale of it, which means it can be sold in any store that sells milk.
That's Jan Ellen Spiegel, the Connecticut Mirror's regular freelance environment and energy reporter. She's done a deep dive into how Connecticut could play an outsized role in the incoming Trump administration's battle over raw milk. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hamilton, executive editor of the Connecticut Mirror. Local journalism has struggled in Connecticut in recent years. It continues to struggle nationally. But CT Mirror is growing thanks to 2,200 donors who embrace our mission of informing Connecticut about public policy and holding government and candidates accountable to their constituents. If you want to be part of a Connecticut journalism success story, please make a gift to CT Mirror today. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page.
Hello, Jan. How did Connecticut become one of the easiest states to get unpasteurized milk? And how do you expect that will play with the incoming Trump administration?
Well, I don't know originally how the rules and regulations that the state has had for a while now came to be at that point. I do know that it has stayed in place largely through a fairly serious incident in which back in 2008, there was a particular dairy that had a bad contamination. 14 people got sick. A few kids got very, very sick. And that dairy closed. There was a little effort at that point to tighten the rules a little. And they were tightened, but they were not tightened as dramatically as they might have been. I think it's worth understanding from a national perspective how this all fits together. The issue of pasteurization of milk, which goes back to the 1800s, really got put into place federally in kind of an advisory way in the early 1900s. A lot of people used to get sick from foodborne illness in milk. I don't think people understand what a really health scourge it was up until that point. And for the most part, there were some federal regulations, not laws, regulations put in place that really helped tighten things up. It addressed pasteurization, but what it didn't address was the continuation of raw milk. Remember, if you go back to when things were a lot more agrarian, there are fewer people in cities, people had cows out back. They milked the cow,
they
drank the milk.
They milked their own cows and drank the milk. From their own cows. I've been here for a while, and I remember that there used to be some dairy farms in Bridgeport.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there were major cities where you could graze cows, you know, like on Boston Common in Boston. But what was left unregulated and left up to the states was this issue of raw milk, and states were allowed to set regulations however they want. Some states did an outright ban, no more raw milk. That has largely fallen away. There may be a couple of states left, one or two left. Some states said, well, if you want raw milk, you got to go to the farm and get it, which makes it a little harder, especially in a largely urban area. But states like Connecticut have allowed the retail sale of it, which means it can be sold in any store that sells milk. In Connecticut, you will largely find that in kind of specialty stores, gourmet-ish type stores. It can be very expensive. The agricultural commissioner told me in doing this story is a farm that he was on charged three times as much for raw milk than other types of milk. And why it has become so popular lately, well, that's a whole other story.
So we're talking about federal regulation here. Why is it that we don't have a blanket federal law affecting raw milk?
What we have is a law that does not allow the interstate transport of raw milk. Each state can regulate what they want to do with raw milk, but you can't transport it state to state. There are workarounds for that in that there are things some states allow or don't regulate at all, known as a cow share or a herd share. You literally are buying into a cow and therefore that's your milk. You can go get it, but you can't sell it. And the and that is a piece of what is so concerning now as we move into the Trump administration and Donald Trump's nominee for Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy, who is a proponent of raw milk.
And basically, what regulation on the federal level that can be changed that would make a big difference is allowing the interstate trade of raw milk.
That is absolutely correct. And it's not as if it hasn't been tried before. There have been members of Congress who have tried to get rid of it over time, going back really into the first Trump administration. Remember, Donald Trump has a very deregulatory approach to things. And there is a concern that this will get tried again. And with Kennedy potentially at Health and Human Services, he would be a big push for that. Now, there are a number of other things that have come into play here. Raw milk seems to have gotten popular a little bit during the pandemic. People went to farms. They were picking up food because it was a safer way to pick up food, learned about raw milk, got a little popular then. People generally think unadulterated food is better for them. That may not always be the case in the case of milk, where pasteurization actually makes it considerably safer. Another absolutely antithetical thing that's going on right now is the issue of bird flu. Bird flu is obviously in birds. As I'm sure listeners know, it has been found in dairy herds. It's mostly out west. It has not been found in dairy herds here. There is no evidence yet that drinking raw milk with bird flu in it will give you bird flu. But there are dairy workers who have gotten bird flu, and they feel it sort of from the spray of milking and that sort of thing. That said, one of the crazy things going on, and this is what has the health department in Connecticut very worried, is this notion on the internet that if you drink raw milk infected with bird flu, it will give you antibodies against bird flu. It will not, period. We have also seen in Texas and I believe California, where farm cats that are often given leftover raw milk to drink have gotten bird flu and died. So there's kind of that hanging out there too. So we have this amalgam of factors right now that have at the very least brought raw milk to a higher interest level just in the news world with all these things coming together.
You talked to some folks at UConn. What did they have to say about this whole issue about whether or not raw milk is, and how are they trying to deal with it?
What we've seen over the last really quarter century is a very large push on the internet by certain organizations claiming that raw milk is healthier for you than other sorts of milk, that the pasteurization process, which uses very high heat to kill pathogens for a period of time, destroys all kinds of vitamins. It is absolutely clear that it does not destroy all kinds of vitamins. About the only thing it knocks out the most is vitamin C. Here's the thing, though. There's very, very, very little vitamin C in milk to begin with, and people do not drink milk for vitamin C. You know, pasteurized milk also has vitamin D added into it to make it to make that better. So the loss of health factor due to pasteurization, you know, according to any major scientist, CDC, FDA, you know, the list is long. that just doesn't happen. The other thing you hear, and this has been pushed by certain organizations on the internet, is that it will cure things like asthma and will cure allergies. And for people who have a certain lactose intolerance, they can handle raw milk.
People like
none of people like you. None of this is true, I'm afraid to say. It's going to be the same, at least according to scientific data. The interesting thing that I think is worth noting is, you know, back the first time I really covered this during the problems in 2008, there was a lot of internet presence by groups pushing raw milk. And if you Googled raw milk, you got those organizations and not scientific information. The CDC, the FDA, many scientific groups have clearly pushed back in the interim because now there's tons of material on the internet. The FDA in particular, their fact sheet that is up online goes point by point, talks about them, and then lists huge lists of data and studies as reference material. So clearly they have come back around in the last several years to make a real presence on this so people will understand what they're reading. But I have not run into a scientist who studies this regularly, does it for a living, who buys into any of the, you know, it's healthier for you, it'll get rid of this, that, and the next disease. What folks are kind of waiting for now is to see whether there will be a link in raw milk that will make you more vulnerable to bird flu. The scientists I talk to, they don't advise taking any chances. So there you have it. It's the same concerns that were around, you know, 14, 15 years ago, the first time I took a look at this.
Well, thank you so much, Jan.
You are quite welcome, and everybody have a good holiday.
You too. Take care. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor, WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.